Welcome to VFN Radio, the extra hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Sit back, relax, grab your coffee if you're at work, sit up to the keyboard and tap around a bit. The new modern workplace. Type, 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 type. We'll be with you in just a moment. Give a shout out this morning to Brett at Great Lakes Airlines. Good morning, Brett. Keep us in the air. Yes, it's true. They ruled, the Supreme Court ruled on the healthcare law. We have a mandate in America, a constitutional mandate for us to pay for healthcare insurance or be fined as a tax. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour today is Jean-Paul Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. And Patrick Shane Hamilton.
The one and only.
Truly. The one. The only.
Thank goodness.
You remember how you used to start those big camera trips? You go, what was it? What'd you do?
Oh, well, let's get ready to rumble. Pat, give it to us. Yeah,
let's go to it.
No.
Oh, come on. We got to find that clip, right? I got the clip right here.
He was so good.
I think
good.
I got how the many, clip. Let me pull
it. He spent some time practicing
on it.
That's
not in there.
I remember you standing in front of the microphone and
what was the mirror? It was the mirror first.
I was forced to do that.
I didn't see anybody. Did you see anybody?
I didn't see nobody. I didn't see no gun.
Did you see a gun? I didn't see a gun.
I didn't see that.
You know.
And I think he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. There has to be a video.
I'm looking for it now. Keep talking. I'm going to find it.
I confiscated all those videos.
Did you really? Oh, no.
I've never seen it, actually.
You have it here? Let's see. I think this is it right here.
Oh, I'm sure we have it. I'm sure it's archived.
I think this is it. Let's see what we got. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Isn't that awesome? Didn't he do good with that? Oh, my goodness.
It's so professional.
It's totally. He did a wonderful job. That is the one and only Pat Hamilton. You can see that on the nextstepoutback.org. Listen, you know, I want to talk about this because it's important. We want to talk about current events and what's God's perspective on it? It's so important because we always exist, in the now? And the scriptures tell us that God's word is a light to our feet, and it's a lamp unto our path, right? Psalms 119. And so a light unto our feet, the word of God, God's perspective, lets us know where we are. The light unto our feet means it lets us know where we are presently.
Right.
And it's a lamp unto our path. It lets us know where we're going. So if you're not looking at God's perspective, if you're not looking at the word of God, you're walking around in the dark. And there's nothing worse. I mean, you can try to act smart in the dark, but you're bumping into things, you know, you're running into stuff and, you know, you don't even know where you're at, you know?
Right.
And so we want to shine the light of God's word to illuminate. That's a tough word for me. To illuminate. We want to look at the news. You know, we want to actually look at it. We want to illuminate it with God's word, but then we want to inspire you that now that you've seen God's a perspective of it, inspire you to say, listen, let's just do things God's way. This is God's perspective. And then we want to activate you. We want to activate you to begin to be a doer of God's word and not just to hear. And we'll talk more about that. But, you know, just recently, you guys must be familiar with this, that Benny and Suzanne Hinn, you know, were divorced. She had filed for divorce from her husband. And he is a minister. He's ministered around the world. He's kind of comes to the lineage of Catherine Coleman, actually, you know.
Right.
And just many miracles, and just has honored God in such a powerful, powerful way. And just glorifies God everywhere he goes, you know, in regards to what he does on the stage. And being in ministry, not just ministry, because you have, you know, this is one mindset that has to change in the church. We're all servants of God.
Right.
And minister means servant. Servant. You know what I'm saying? So you're serving. So when somebody says, well, he's in the ministry and I'm not, it's like, are you a believer? You know, are you a believer?
Right.
You know, then serve, right? Serve alongside. Anyway, so they were divorced. She filed for divorce and he continued to minister and just stayed faithful. Just kept going. But now they're coming back together again. It's been about 4 weeks ago at the time. It's maybe 5 weeks. And they're going to get married again. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, well, this is great. It really is. This is good. This is, oh, that's cool. That's cool. You know, because, you know, God's word says, even if you're married to an unbeliever, you know, if you can stay with them, they'll stay with you. Maybe they'll be your ministry, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, in regards to that, I was thinking, well, that's totally, totally great. But then, you know, I saw this interview and God already kind of touched my spirit already because, it's just, you know how God does. He just brings me into situations and with certain people and they don't really, you know, it's just God lets you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, I'm watching this interview and the thing that comes to mind is this, and you might not know this, that there was a king once, and this particular king, it's in the Word of God. It's in Esther chapter one. And this king, his name was, Xerxes, and it's actually spelled X-E-R-E-S. You pronounce it Xerxes. He was having a, you know, he'd just been in office maybe about three years, and he was throwing this huge banquet. And, you know, and this is a kingdom. This is actual a government.
Mm-hmm.
This is a government. This is a man, a king. He's a king over the people. And what he does is he has a wife, and his wife is Vashti. V-A-S-H-T-I, Vashti, Queen Vashti. And she was also given a banquet in the royal place that he had set up for her. And on the seventh day of this banquet, when King Xerxes was high in spirits from his wine, he commanded the seven of his eunuchs who served him, he said, to bring to him his wife, you know, Queen Vashti, who was wearing her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and to the nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command to his wife, when the king delivered the message, they delivered the king's message to the queen,
mm-hmm.
when the husband delivered the message to the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That makes sense? You know, she actually refused. She refused. It just says Queen Vashti refused to come. Well, since it was customary for the king to consult with people around him for law and justice and wisdom, he gathered those that were around him, some of his top advisors, John, of his top advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, what do you do with this?
Right.
I'm trying to talk to her, but she's not listening.
You know?
Right. She ain't coming.
Yeah. And according to the law, this is what they tell him. According to the law, what must be done to Queen Vashti? Yes, she has not obeyed the commands of King Xerxes that they actually delivered to her. And Queen Vashti has done wrong, they said, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the peoples of all the provinces of King Xerxes. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, and so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded his wife, commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persians and the Median women of the nobles who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the very same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. And so this is what they're telling them. This is wisdom. These are the wisest men that were around at the time. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if it pleases the king, they tell him, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Midian, which cannot be replaced or repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter in the presence of King Xerxes. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. Then, when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all the vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands from the least to the greatest. So he sent dispatch to all the parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, in its own language, proclaiming that every man should be the ruler over his own household using their native language. I mean, think about it. Though these wise men knew, first of all, the king knew to seek counsel.
Right.
You know, if you're going through something, you know, you need to seek counsel. You know, with that
wise counsel.
You know, how is this going to reverberate through that which you're leading? And in the church, you know, it's going to reverberate, especially if you're a leader.
Right.
You know, it's going to reverberate. Somebody says, "Well, that's the Old Testament, and that doesn't happen anyway." And what are you even talking about, King Xerxes, and all this different stuff? And it's like, well, it's just wisdom.
Right.
It's wisdom. Right now, the American church is primarily the parts that you see, you know, and including that which is in, you know, leadership all over the place. Upside down. It's just upside down. It's just like Vashti. It's just like Xerxes. And when I watched the interview, I just watched the interview as Pat Robinson's interviewing both Suzanne and Benny on his program, his CBN program. And, you know, Pat's, you know, he just kind of tells it like it is, and he's talking.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, my goodness. You know, Suzanne, why would you shame your husband so publicly? Why would you say the things you said?
Right.
And I understand when you're trying to get your relationship back together and it's a mess and things are happening, it's not pretty. But we should have God's perspective of that. You know, I could say, you know, I understand this is what's happening right now doesn't look right, but we're believing in the long journey that it's not going to look like this. I have hope for Vashti. I have hope for us to be able to work this thing out. But what you saw on that television program, what you saw me be uncovered, you saw, you know, my wife tell the whole world and the nations that I don't pray for her, told the whole world and everybody that I don't know anything about spiritual warfare. Dude, if you've been in ministry,
hello.
You know what I'm saying? Know anything about spiritual warfare, you know, and I'm just talking what God's perspective is. That is a Vashti experience, you know, that,
sure
that there's many women that are struggling right now in your marriages. And we're talking about marriage, not women, because it's all, everybody's the same in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But if you choose to get married, there's order to marriage.
Right.
If you don't like the order, don't marry. Just don't marry. It's okay. Oh, marriage is like oatmeal. You know, if you want it, eat it. If you don't, don't. It's not sin if you do, and it's not sin if you don't. You know, and we're not going to go there in all those details. And so my heart broke because I know that, you know, you see the fruit from Benny Hinn's ministry. I understand the pain and my heart for both of them having to go the price that they have to pay to be able to do that. But you do not, you wouldn't, that's, you know, that's what Paul talks about. That's a disgrace when the wife sees herself over the husband and she rules him, you know.
It was very dishonoring.
Well, it's very dishonoring, and now we have to deal, as leaders in the church, we have to deal with the whole church is seeing that, and they're saying if God's, you know, doing these miracles through him and this ministry, and he is and it's powerful, then we should be that one. This is the ultimate thing that was said, was when she was asked, you know, will you, you know, go with your husband in ministry? And she said, well, if he slows down. And Pat just responds quickly, God forbid.
Uh-huh.
But the whole thing is, does that mean now this whole thing that God has called him to do is now going to submit to you? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that complicated what God says about marriage. Listen, stay away from it if you don't like how God describes it. Don't put yourself on a boat where you got to skip over what God says about marriage every time you read your Bible, or you have bitterness and resentment in your heart about what God says about marriage. Just stay away from marriage. Don't marry. You know, don't marry. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul says, I'd rather you not marry. But if you do, live like you're not married because your time is short. Mm-hmm. So it's not about earthly marriages. It's not. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened to the American church. You know, I don't know where we got. Well, I do know. It's a strategy. You got to get zero tolerance and you'll understand it because it's all about authority.
Yes, you do.
You got to find out. You know what, you know, God gives each and every believer authority, and you have to hold on to that authority and don't be like the angels who stepped down for their places of authority and surrendered it that he talks about in Hebrews, because you're going to be held accountable for how you exercise that authority. But, you know, a ministry that's just totally upside down from what God says. So you said that was the Old Testament, you know, in the New Testament. Oh, look here. It says the same thing in the New Testament. You know, and he's, Paul's writing a letter to the church of Ephesus. And he writes in Ephesians chapter 5, just exactly what the nobles told King Xerxes. Ephesians 5 verse 22. It said, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So the viewpoint of that is, you know, if you're talking to Suzanne, you know, and Benny, you would just say, you know, first of all, I would say, I'm just honored to be in your presence, Benny. You know, that, you know, the sacrifice and your willingness to push through and all the things that you've been through and the pain that you've experienced and how the enemy's come and attacked your family and you know, that I'm just honored to be in your presence with that. But I know you're a man. Mm-hmm. You're a man, though.
Right.
And, but I would say, you know, then we have to look at the perspective of that is like, you are supposed to submit to him. He's not supposed to submit to you.
Right.
You know, they're not married yet. Mm-hmm. You know, she left, you know, and a believer, you know, is the one who believes God's word, right?
That's right.
He is the word. And so, you know, the word plainly says that that it should have been the other way around. And I understand they're new in this process and they're walking it out and they're getting counsel from others. But there's a lot of ungodly counsel, unbiblical counsel right now in America about marriage. And it ain't working. I mean, 50% of the marriages in the church are ending in divorce. It is difficult in America to try to live a godly marriage and have a godly family, which means live it according to God's way, because everything, including those who profess to be believers, are speaking into Vashti's ear and speaking into King Xerxes' ear and giving them ungodly counsel. Yeah, they're telling them, you know, just, and so they say things like this, and this is the clincher's how you know. When they say, well, I finally figured it out. This is the order. God, family, and then ministry. I mean, that is such an accepted thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that fit 1 Corinthians 17, live like you're not married? Mm-hmm. How does that fit Ephesians 5? How does that fit the word ministry means service? And God says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and continue to help them. How does that fit not helping God's people?
Right.
Aren't you supposed to be helping God's people with me? Aren't we supposed to be serving God together? If you profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ, do you really need a certificate hanging on your wall to obey God? Mm. We'll have to wake up.
Right.
We're all called to serve God. I mean, Ruth and Naomi, your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. This is not about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's about Jesus.
Right.
You know, and listen, we've tried this for a while. We've tried setting aside God's commands for man's traditions, which that's a man's tradition thing right there.
Right.
And it didn't work. I mean, we got enough evidence. It just didn't work. I mean, look at the statistics. I mean, look at the facts. It didn't work. Why don't we just go back to God's way of doing it?
Right.
And if you don't want to do it, this is very important to say. Don't, and before you start talking to somebody about this, don't talk to them about the meat of this. Just first say, hey, you know, if God wanted you to do it differently, if God told you plain as day that what you were doing was wrong and you needed to change the way you're operating in your marriage, would you change? And many people, if they're honest,
right,
if they were honest, if you just looked at what they were doing, They would say, well, no, I'd just rather argue with you about it and try to tell you. It's like, it's not that complicated. You know, it's not that complicated, you know. And so understanding that if they say no, then just don't go there. They've already made their choice. They're not going to follow God. But if they say yes, and that's what we all have to do, you know, as a husband and as a wife, we have to say, you know what? I'm open to what God says about it. I'm going to do it his way. Even if it doesn't seem to work out, I'm still going to be on the side of I'd rather go God's way. He's right, right? Well, you think about it. You think about this. You think about this, that I don't know. Did you need to check with anybody, John, first before you answer that question?
No, I certainly don't.
It was a slow response. But, you know, it's important to know this. It's important to know that we just repent. We just go, listen, we were wrong in the way we were doing it and begin a journey. And because we've done it wrong for so long, it's going to take a while to get back to the right place. You need to be merciful to Vashti. You need to be merciful to King Xerxes. You need to be merciful to a husband and a father and merciful to a wife and a mother, because it's going to be a lot of undoing to get back to the way God says family has to be. I mean, God's way of doing family is so powerful that when somebody sees it happening, they make a television show out of it and people watch it. That program, what's that program called that it's called like 18 and counting or something like that?
Duggards.
Yeah, the Duggards. I mean, they're Christians. They love God. They're just doing it biblically. That's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's it. And people gawk at it and watch it. You know why? Because there's an anointing on your marriage and your family when you choose to follow your husband the way God says to follow your husband. There's an anointing on your family, children, when you choose to follow your parents the way God says to do that. And there's an anointing that people are drawn towards God, husband and father, when you lead your family the way Christ would lead the church. It's a glowing example where everybody wants to have that in their life. And everything's fighting against it. It's like the enemy's been working overtime to be able to divide us and try to conquer us. But you know what? In Christ, you know, we're united.
That's right.
So you can see that interview. We're going to have it up on the VFN TV blog. Also, this will be there available. Well, if you want to share it with us, we want to get God's perspective of it. But we should never shame our wives, and we should never shame our husbands. We should always cover each other. And when you see that happening, it's not right. It's a wrong spirit. So we need to pray for both of them. We're excited they're on a journey back. There's grace for that. But you needed to have, you know, God's perspective of that. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't say, "Whoa, that's great. Now I'll actually have my husband submit to me. I will cut back on the ministry, service to God. I will help less people. Less people will be healed. Less people will get saved. More people will go to hell. But at least you're getting what you want."
Right.
That's not good, is it?
No, that's not good.
That's not good. And we love them both, and our hearts are there. We're just kind of bringing the perspective. You know, if you're going to talk about that part of it, you know, we just want to say, you know, God loves us all, and there's mercies for this journey, but you needed to hear that particular perspective. We'll be right back in just one moment. I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk and the Lord. You've got to meet my father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com. Go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. Can you believe we're coming to the last part of the extra hour?
Amazing.
Well, you know this. You think about this. We just finished up with talking about a very, you know, touchy subject. We talked about marriage. And with that, you know, we talked about Benny and Suzanne Hamm. We're excited about them coming together. If you haven't heard it, you need to go back and listen to it. You can hear it again on the highlights on your VFN app, VFN TV app, or at the VFN TV blog. You can get to it, go to VFNTV.com. You know, we were going to have the rest of our, you know, talk about Mormonism today. We started it yesterday, and these are just really, why do you have to bring this up? And I'm like, I know, but you know what? You know, Paul said, you know, and you know, you'll hear this if you go to VFNTV.com or go onto your phones and your iPads and all, and you listen, because we're going to make this available immediately to subscribers. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe. And find out, you know, what Mormonism is. Find out what they believe. Find out what God's word says about it. And he says many people are going to be coming in his name. You know, many false prophets are going to come. And Joseph Smith is the prophet, the 14-year-old young man at that time, that he is a prophet for the Mormon church. It all derived out of the Book of Mormon. And when you find all the things about the Book of Mormon that he corrected the problems and the mistakes in the Bibles with the Book of Mormon, as he put it. And it's just so many things. I'm not going to talk about details. You can get that at VFNTV.com. And it's not because people that are actually in Mormonism and serving that God doesn't love them. Not only does God love them, you know, I love them, and I want them to know Jesus. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. You know, one of the most popular Mormons right now in America, because, you know, he came through a real hard part in his life, and is Glenn Beck. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's cool. I really like Glenn. Right. I like Glenn, and his talents are just cranked up, and he just, you know, he really cares about America, you know, but in his loyalty is, you know, he says people come to him, and they tell him that we have two problems. And he says, well, what are the problems? And the first problem is that you're Glenn Beck. And I can relate to that myself, you know?
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I understand. What's the other one? He goes, and you're a Mormon. You know, America has a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And you should, if you're a Christian, you know,
right.
I understand if you're not a Christian, you know, this doesn't even make sense to you. But if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, you need to know that there's different Jesuses that people are preaching that it's not Jesus. They may use the name Jesus, but you find out, you know, first of all, you have an original encounter with him. I'm not going to talk about too many details. You can actually get the rest of this, you know, on the VFN TV blog. It'll be made available today. you know, and also it'll be in the highlights. And I think it's entitled something like Mormons, Are They Christians? And then we begin to venture and talk about that. And then go to that's a radio spot. But then you can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe and get a teaching on it. And that's very important. That's where you go to get, you know, teachings from what we're talking about right there. Oh, my goodness. So many things are going on. You know, I'm sitting here reading at this very moment that the court upholding this mandate for this commercial clause that that they said that they're using words in their decision that it says they have to obey.
Wow.
They're like, oh, my goodness. Are you serious? You must obey. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? Interesting days that we're in. Who would have thunk it? But you know what? I mean, let me talk to the church for a moment. You must obey God, yeah. God, right?
Right.
He says, if you love him, you'll obey him.
That's right.
And he says, I've obeyed my father. I loved him by obeying him in John 15:10. He says, now you go and do likewise. Mm-hmm. And so if we can't obey God, many leaders, right?
That's right.
Many
That's
leaders. Right. Totally amazing. So we're going to catch the whole thing. We're not going to have a day. We don't have enough time for it. And I kind of like not having to talk about it again. And but I want you know, my heart, and I'm sure y'all's heart too, you can express it, you know, but is, you know, anybody who's in anything other than a relationship with Jesus Christ are all in the same boat.
That's right.
And they're loved by God, and their very quest to be religious, their very quest to find God that maybe end up in the wrong place, worshiping the wrong thing, that understand that God's put that inside of us to worship. And right. It's for us, the church, who, by the way, 95% of believers live their entire life without winning one person from these areas to right. the Lord. Not one, 95%.
Not one.
Yeah, not one. And so instead of complaining about the gods, small g, they're serving, mm-hmm. why don't we tell them about God, the capital G God, and his son Jesus Christ, and let them know that just redirect your worship to the true God.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Presently to you, it's the unknown God, you know, as Paul said to Greece. But right. God loves you, and begin to reason with them, and maybe out of love, you know, and you're not going to hate anybody in the kingdom. You're going to love them. You're not going to argue them into the kingdom.
Mm. That is true.
And you're not going to be able to point at yourself and say, be like me.
All right.
Because God will actually make sure that example don't work. But you just point to Jesus. You know, you tell them about your journey. Tell them about, you know, how bad you are outside of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and that mm-hmm. the only good in you is God, and tell them that you are them outside of him. That's and right. they can relate to that, because it's true, by the way. If you don't know that or not, say, yeah. God, you just pray this prayer. God, can you show me that I am them outside of you? You know, yeah, you're not going to do that, are you? Because you know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in understanding that, then we're reaching back to ourselves to help them come on into the family of God. And things will be changed when the church arises and wakes up. Man, the sleeping church, huh?
Yeah. And share your testimony. I mean, share what God's done for you on a personal level. And someone said that a person with an argument is at the mercy of someone with an experience. And it's about the love of God. You know, I can appreciate people that are sincerely trying to do their very best to know God. But if they don't know the true God, Jesus Christ, we should be compelled to tell them about the love of God. It's not an argument. It's about saying what God has done for me personally. We've gotten so far away from that. I've talked to believers that, you know, never bring up their testimony and don't want to go into those areas. But I tell you, if we look bad and Jesus looks good, then Jesus wins. And we just need to be real and be able to share what God has done in our own personal experience, and no one can argue with that, because it's truly an encounter with the love of God, and everybody can have it. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. Well, you know, I don't know if you saw. Did you see the father that was riding that ride with his kid on the VFNTV blog?
I saw the picture of it.
Oh, the picture. Well, the video is up now. There's one little edit in there. You know, like when you hear this beep. Just, you know, for the ears of those, you know, who couldn't handle that yeah, he's riding this ride with his girl, and he looks so calm at first, and then he starts thinking, And he probably looks about like I would look sitting in there. You know, this thing is way too small for me. And it is
I've been on a ride with you before.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
My goodness. Yes.
Don't ever, 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 Pat, ever, ever, ever go to the fair with
Think about this. That, you know, this is back when John was young. And he's much taller now. And and so we're at the fair.
If you get into blogging, you'll see how tall I am.
That's right. That's exactly there, standing by Jared. I do want to say this. You know, I'm excited about, you know, Amber, my daughter, my middle daughter, getting married. I'll be marrying my daughter to her fiance, Blake, this weekend on the Emerald Coast. We'll be standing in the sand. By the way, it's scheduled to be 10 million degrees.
Sounds like another wedding we know.
Oh, it sounds like the heat wave that's in Colorado.
And thunderstorms.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness.
I think I saw something.
That's negative. I mean, thanks for believing
10 million degrees. That's not
negative. Rain is good. Rain's good.
Cool it off, right?
Yeah, that's nice. Well, this weekend I'll be marrying my daughter, Amber, and Blake, and she will be Amber Barr.
Barr.
I said Amber Barr. She said, no, Amber Barr. And hopefully next week I'll be able to show you. He's a drag racer. He builds race cars and all. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I got a video I'll be putting up probably on the VFN TV blog so you can see it. But he is the fastest racer of that car, I believe. I'll verify that. But he cranks that puppy. He lets it go. It's a Honda.
Yeah. It's the souped up 4-cylinder.
Yeah. See?
Hondas are cool. See, I got one of those.
They, right. This one goes boom, boom. So it's got something different in it.
I steal that Honda from me in Jersey City. So let me tell you something.
Did they really?
Cool. Yeah, man.
Well, you know, yeah.
No plug for Jersey City, but you know.
No. Yeah. And so I'm going to be this weekend, so I'll be out there and I'll say, you know, dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to join this man and this woman in holy matrimony. Isn't that wild? Wow. Amber. Little Amber.
I know it.
Her hair used to be longer than she was tall. Remember that?
I know. I used to drag the ground.
Oh, my goodness. She's a very special, special girl to me. I love her with all my heart, and it's just exciting to see this part of her life, and Blake is a good man. And I'm excited about having him in the family. And all the listeners that are listening today, I'd appreciate if you just, you know, continue to keep them in your prayers. Just pray God's blessing on their marriage. And it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It may be a little toasty, but when we finish up, it'll be Mr. and Mrs.
Barr.
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 Barr. Barr. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Barr. And Barr Barr. So tell us, what is going on 10 miles out of New York City? What's happening up there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk about the weather. I mean, my goodness. It's either hot, blazing hot, or it's either raining. We can't get any consistency up here. But weather's a big, big, big deal here, especially when you got to commute into the city and you got to go everywhere. I mean, everything's dictated here by weather.
You all have dictators up there?
Yeah, it's called the weather. Humorous moments.
Yeah, humorous moments. Well, anyway, so getting back, think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. And John had a chance. Some of you called this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John, on the VFN TV blog.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the blog, and you can get the title. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there. Yeah.
And subtitle.
Yeah. But It's really cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit. You know,
yes,
when
it
you
is.
Don't, when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you. You don't pound your chest and say it was me, my hard work, or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord, and that's what He's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because you know you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell, and we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I said, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.E. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.E. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. I can see it. It's pretty cool. It's on the blog. It's on the VFN TV blog. It says, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, think about it. You know, he's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to buy with the Lord, and I'm sure he is, but we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer, and I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season. This is your time. God's putting you on a platform. You know, share the gospel. And he said, thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him. But I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She's like, oh my goodness, you know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. I'm pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us, and it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. Think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people that they want to read the word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, ABIDE.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
Yeah, and in his testimony, he's at the Texas Ranger Stadium, I guess. Yeah,
that's where he first got started.
Yeah, and when he talks about, he's talking about his arm was not, it wasn't hanging right.
Right.
I think about, like, we would all be in trouble. I don't think anything's hanging right on our bodies.
I know. Get this. They signed him for first-round draft pick, $810,000 signing bonus. He goes to Texas Rangers to get the – you know, he's walking through the stadium for the first time, and they're going to do all the MRIs and check him out, and they find out that he's missing a UCL, they call it. I don't know exactly what that is, but
– yeah, it's a ligament in his arm.
Yeah, you're not even supposed to be able to twist the doorknob, okay, without this ligament.
That's true, by the way.
Without being in excruciating pain. And here's this guy who's been pitching. Long story short, they cut him. And one day he loses his dream to being a major league pitcher. And he's about to, you know, go through all of those experiences. And he's about to finish his last year of pitching in college for Tennessee. And the rule is that once he enrolls in school that they can no longer draft him, that he has to wait an entire year before he can be drafted again. And right before he starts, he gets a call from the agent that's been working with the Texas Rangers, says, listen, you know, I just feel so bad about this situation. And they have been praying about this. R.A. Dickey was, and his wife and his family says, I feel so bad about the situation. I don't know if you really want to do this, but I even talked to my dad about it. And we feel like we should offer you something if you still want to come. And so they offer him $77,000 from $810,000.
Wow.
And he signs it. He says, Pat, I'm going.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he goes through his minor league season up and down and just trials and tribulations and things that he's going through, things in his past where he's been hurt and abused. And it's a journey of a man who found God. It's a journey of a man that no matter where his profession took him, the highs and there were some lows, that God was the safe tower to run to, that the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ went to, and his authenticity and being so real, I know will minister to many people.
That's so wonderful. You know, this, the testimony of God in our lives, you know, and he's cool. He's like the number one knuckle pitcher, right?
Yeah, knuckleball pitcher. You know, that's one of those pitches that most people don't want to throw. It's a very difficult
pitch.
And
it's what they said he couldn't do because of his arm.
Well, no. They said he couldn't just pitch. Yeah, well, he couldn't pitch at all, really.
Right.
But they were afraid to blow it out. The great thing about that pitch is that the longevity of a pitcher lasts forever. Normally, a pitcher has a tear, mm-hmm. but the nature of that pitch is not even about throwing it fast. It's about just letting it go out there without any rotation.
Right.
In pitching, you want fast rotation, but this knuckleball just does its own weird thing. And the Lord blessed him with being able to, you know, teach him and hone that in. In fact, his record now in the major league has the most winningest record. He's 11-1, and he pitched 2 consecutive one-hit games. I mean, that's pretty huge. It's only been done 3 times in 68 years in the major league. Yeah, and that means it's only one batter got one hit off of him. He had 42 1/3 scoreless innings, which is essentially like 5 games without not even scoring an earned run. And it's all about God and it's all about the Lord. It's not about R.A. And yeah. I think that's cool. You know, when you look at all these athletes and people, you know, your children, you want to get them involved in athletics and look at positive role models and people that are doing the right thing. You know, it's important that they have someone like that besides yourself, of course, that they can look to. And so it's pretty cool. Pretty cool to see all that happen.
And you actually can see him talking about this on the VFNTV blog. Go to VFNTV.com and go to the blog. You know, I think about, you know, how we talk about how do we get back to God? How do we get back to the place that we are maybe for the first time, to a place that we need to be in God? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think about 3 statements. I think about hearing, I think about doing, and I think about hearing and doing. This is why I think about that. I think about that because, you know, we're told by Jesus that if you hear these words, Matthew chapter 7, if you hear, and there's a storm happening right now. It's not like coming, it's here, and it's just escalating. And he's talking about a storm, how to survive in the storm. Mm-hmm. He says, if you hear these words of mine and you put them into practice, in other words, if you hear it and you do it, you're like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the economy fell, I added that, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had the foundation of a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, does not practice them, is a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the storms rose, the winds blew, the economy crashed, the government flipped, you know, all these different things.
Wow.
And it fell with a great crash. And you think about it. It's so important, you know, and the American church has gotten so used to just hearing. Did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. Oh, yeah, I heard that. You know, and they said, you know what? I am so sold out for God. I'm so sold out for God, John. Listen, I'm going to go back next week and I'm going to hear some more. And somebody says, you know, you haven't taught me because I've been here 10 years and I hear every week. Hear, hear, they said, right? And so, but James tells us, you know, the brother of Jesus tells us in John, James chapter 1, he says, if you hear the word and you don't do it, you're merely deceived.
Deceiving.
So if you're a hear, right? Think about it. Here. I mean, how many people, I've never seen such beautiful, orchestrated, elegant hearers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, look how she's hearing. Isn't that amazing?
Right.
I mean, she nods her head. She gives feedback, an amen every now and then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he does so well. I mean, he's hearing really well. I mean, these are the best hearers I've ever heard. I mean, who would just show up to hear for so long? Hear, they said, right? And then you have the doers. You know, I think about Jersey. I'm just a doer. I just do. I'm a doer. I just like to do. I just don't know. I don't know what it is. I just do, right? Right? So it's a southern version of that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm a doer, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I just like to do. I got your chew gum when you say that. Probably sound better from chewing gum. Anyway, so please don't. Please. Oh my goodness. So, okay. Let's move on. And so in that, you know, Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3, he talked about all of his doings. You know, as a matter of fact, when you go to a minister's breakfast, you know, they don't say, what's God saying to you? They don't. I mean, it's not every one of them. I'm just talking about most of them. You know, the American concept, you know, they don't say, anyway, this is what's said. So what you doing? And you say what you're doing. And they go, well, what are you doing? I'm doing this. Oh, you're doing this? I'm doing that. What do you do? I do this. What do you do? Do. So, I mean, it's all about works. It's all about doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like do and do or do-do. You like a do-do meeting, right? It's like, and the people don't even really care what you're doing. It's just politically correct to have a do-do meeting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? This is what I do. We're not going to invest in each other. We're not going to respond. As a matter of fact, they may even think you're like, you know, out there, and they just leave. And that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to have a do and a do meeting. We're called to say, how are you? Can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these different things we could say. And so he said, when Paul listed all of his dues, and he did it in Philippians 3, I mean, he listed all these awesome religious works. He did all these things. I mean, just wonderful things. It's just religious works. And there's so many things being done in the name of religion. I mean, just lots of things. And he said, you know what he said? He said, I consider it doo-doo. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like the GIV version. But, you know, he said, He said, I consider it dung. That's manure.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I consider it manure. And there's nothing worse to be in a doo-doo meeting, right?
That's right.
It's like, come on. You know, where's the power of God? Why are we asking and talking about what God's saying? You know what I'm saying? Right. Why isn't there some... We're going to go out and build a new wing on this thing, and we're going to go out and do kind works. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Do this. It's like, is anybody hearing first what God wants you to do? Well, I don't have time to hear what he wants to do, but we're very religious. Can't you see, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
And then. So those that do and do without hearing, you know, that's what Paul considered all dung. He considered it doo-doo is what he said.
Right.
You know, and that's the King James version of it. And so with that, then you have the hear-dos, those who hear what God says, the word of God, and then they just do it. Hear-dos.
Mm-hmm.
They hear what God says, and they put it into practice. Jesus said, if you do this, you're a wise man that builds your house on a rock, and when the storm comes, you stand. James says you're blessed in all you do when you're a hear-do. Hear ain't going to get it. Do-do ain't going to get it. But hear-do gets it. This is my question for you. Are you a hear-hear? Are you a do-do? Or are you a hear-do? If you find yourself in the first two categories, you can make a decision today that I'm going to be a doer of the word of God. I am going to break loose from the hear-hears and the do-dos. And I'm going to go, I'm just going to do what it says. I'm just going to read it and I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, this is what he says marriage should be, and I'm going to do it. He says, this is how finance should be, and I'm going to do it. You know, in view of his mercies, and he's full of grace and mercy. You know, so we do this, and understanding that I'm no longer going to be a hear. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm just built and designed that I can only hear for so long. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, when are we going to do something with this?
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like having this big, huge pep rally, and everybody's dressing up for it, and pom poms, and new sound systems, and new hairdos, and new buildings, and new all this kind of stuff. And at some point, it's like, aren't we going to get on the field? 95% of the church self professing Christians never get on the field and win one person to Jesus who died for them.
Yeah. It's not a go ye, it has become a come ye. And it's not a go ye church, it's become a come ye church. Come here.
Yeah,
come in the building.
Yes.
You know, but don't go.
That's exactly it. And we're called to be a go-ee. We don't pray about, you know, oh, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm wondering, God, you know, it's me again. And thank you for my stuff and things. And I just want to ask this question. I'm just kind of pondering. Should I leave the lap of luxury? Should I cut back on my overtime? Should I sell my boat so I could go tell somebody about you? And then they hear some other voice that says, why would you want that? I mean, you got all this stuff going on. Just give some money to the 5% who will do it.
Right. Right.
But I'm going to tell you this. Listen. If you are struggling with moving from a here or from a do-do to a here-do, and you want to get active right now, I want to encourage you. Go to vfnfamily.org. Maybe that's where you can begin to hear and you can do. You know what I'm saying? Or there's others across the world that they're hearing and they're doing. George Bonner says people are leaving the hear-hears and the do-dos. I mean, he didn't say it that way. People are leaving tradition so they can keep their relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so understanding that you can begin to get active. And if you're struggling with, you know, trying to get them to God, lead them to God, lead them to VFN Radio, lead them to VFN TV. It's a totally available for the world. The world's listening. Lead them to us, and we will partner with you to lead them to Christ, and we together can obey the Great Commission. The question is, are you a here, a do-do, or a here-do? We'll be right back after this message. You might not know this, but we have the VFN TV blog, the VFN radio blog. It's a blog where we're talking to you all the time about all the different things, God's news behind the news, some really funny things, some things like dreams that we're having about heaven and prophetic words and conversations. You know, we want to take it to the next level. And we do that on the VFN TV blog. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be hearing something on the radio. We're talking about the blog. It's the VFN TV blog. You can get to it at vfntv.com and click on the blog, and it's a button on the menu that tells you how to get there. And you go over there, and it has all these things we've been talking about in the program. You can search for it. You can even subscribe to the blog itself. If you hover over in the right-hand corner, something pops out from the right side, and it says subscribe. What that means is every time there's a new entry in the blog, it will go into your email, whatever your email account is, and it'll be sitting there on your computer. What we do also with that is we're coming to the end of the extra hour in VFN Radio. You've been listening to VFN Radio with Greg Lancaster, Pat Hamilton, and John Ramos. Have a beautiful, blessed, wonderful day.